That's not bad.
Uh-huh, because I live in LaGrange.
Well, yeah.
Got a lot of nice girls there, and then they got Wendy Snyder. Ha, ha, that's it.
Hello.
You can see Wendy's show at the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse all this weekend. Two shows Saturday. Half a show Sunday. Why don't you do a full show on Sunday?
The seventh day, you do half a show.
Yeah. She does two shows on Saturday, but no matinees.
No matinees. Back-to-back shows on Saturday night at the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse. Mention this ad for 10% off. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. The musical stylings of Wendy Snyder. All right. There's a lot to discuss. Let us start out with the obvious.
Woo!
Let us start out with Matt Lauer. Some people that we've chatted with in the hallways here at WGN are extremely shocked, yourself included.
Can I just tell you, every time a new name is announced, which seems to happen pretty much
every day,
I come in and look at you and go, that one shocked me.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So why, it's almost not fair to ask, but I'm curious, so I will ask. Why are you shocked by Matt Lauer?
All right. Obviously, I don't understand the mind. I can't get inside the mind of a sexual abuser.
Yeah.
I really can't, because I know now, and I hear from people, that it's about power, it's about control. Because my first instinct is to go, Matt Lauer's a good-looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he doesn't need to resort to that to get a date.
Right.
And then that power thing pops into my head, and it's like, it's not about, you know, getting a date. It's about powering over someone.
Yeah. Right.
And I guess I can't get in that right mind or wrong mind.
So there's so much about this that makes me curious, but this is first and foremost. This is the thing that I am most curious about. As Matt Lauer is reporting over the last 4 or 5 or 6 weeks about all these other stories, is in the back of his head, is he thinking, oh boy, at some point my own name is going
to
be on this list? Is he thinking that
he
the whole time? Or is he thinking, well, I'll probably get away with this?
One's getting away with anything anymore.
Well, all right, so that's the second part that I wanted to bring up. The second part is this. Over the last month and a half, more and more prominent names come up, and most of them, not all of them, seem to come from the world of entertainment/news. Or from politics. So is this happening in other professions and it's just not getting a lot of airplay?
100% yes.
Is it? Yeah.
And I think it's going to get some airplay now, because I know that people have texted in and said, you know, I've been in a business that is not glamorous.
Yeah.
And I have been to the point where I don't even want to come to work anymore because I have been harassed.
Yeah.
And I don't have any other choice but to come to work. So I think it's definitely going to start happening. I hope people care as much if it happens at like the U.S. Postal Service or at a garage somewhere.
Right. It's no less tragic,
right,
just because it's not a high profile profession, but I'm not finding stories. I mean, every once in a while you'll find something online or in a paper about somebody who's the head of some company who had to step down, but it's nowhere near as much as it's been with entertainment/news or with politics, you know?
Well, it's going to start happening. Look at this whole Massage Envy thing.
Yeah, I know.
Which
I know.
That one is just...
Yeah.
And the company has said, you know, with all these employees, you know, boy, we want to get on top of this. Please, if you have a complaint. I mean, what do they do? They have so many employees, there's bound to be some bad ones.
All right, so they are, for people who aren't aware, they're considered to be the largest massage company. Is there a massage company? Am I saying this right?
I found it weird when they opened because it's like, I don't know. I don't really get massages on a regular basis. I wouldn't know where to go. And then when they popped up, I'm like, I can go to Massage Envy.
Well, my prior knowledge, now I have not gone in for a professional massage ever. I just haven't. But they always have them at whatever health club I'm a member of.
Right.
You're always afforded
that option.
Do
you get
the
amateur ones?
Yeah, I get amateur ones all the time, Steve.
And at spas.
Yeah, at spas they have them. And then you can find places by Midway Airport that you say to yourself, I'm not 100% sure this is legit.
But I got time between flights.
Right. Most of the neon lights seem to be operating, so I'm sure everything's on the up and up here. All right, so they're a place, they tend to open up like in strip malls and stuff, right?
Don't
Isn't that
say
where
strip.
Well, in smaller malls along the highways, that's where Massage Envy is. Now, the story I read said that there have been hundreds of allegations of this sort of behavior at Massage Envy, So why all of a sudden, like, what happened that all of a sudden, after hundreds of these allegations?
Well, Bill, I'm sorry. I think the number I saw was 180.
Oh, okay. I'm
sorry. Four Chicago area Massage Envy franchises among nearly 200 sued by customers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot.
But no, there are people that settled, because I have been reading up on this. My son Michael's 18, and he's got a lot of stress in his shoulders, and he's like, I feel like I need to get a massage. And very frequently I have said, you're 18, go get a massage at Massage Envy. Now yeah. I'm telling him, no, don't go there.
Yeah.
People didn't speak up because some people did and were hushed and paid off.
Well, right. See, it bothers me, Wendy, that you're telling your son not to go there because, obviously there's a situation here.
Yes. Well, okay, but I'm thinking like
more
now
times
I won't.
Than not, the transaction happens without incident.
There are thousands and thousands of massages every day. Not every lawsuit is just because it's filed.
Right. I know.
Verifiable. And also, this is the sort, you know, these are individual businesses and. You know, I just hate to see
they shouldn't take
businesses
the fall
be
for
threatened.
What's...
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
Right.
They have nearly 1,200 franchises.
So let's go out and get a massage.
Well, yeah. Let's make the next Hometown Voices at a Massage Envy.
I could use one. Got a lot of stress since I quit smoking. Got a lot of extra energy and a lot of stress.
You don't see... Honestly, I know this will sound crazy. You seem less stressful since you've stopped smoking than more stressful.
I am enjoying life more.
I
have more
things,
energy.
Right? Can't you taste when you have food now? You go, oh, this tastes like a tangerine.
Yeah, a little bit.
Even if it's not a tangerine.
You can see why Bill wouldn't eat this.
I can also smell more, so maybe you should take a shower.
Oh.
Kidding.
All right.
I just feel more hyper now that I don't have a cigarette to go to.
Yeah.
But I could do a Massage Envy.
Yeah.
I feel bad because it's, you're right, there are bad seeds in radio, but not the whole...
Name names.
Wait, what are the good ones?
They'll be named soon, I bet.
Steve's right. It'd be a shorter list to just name the good ones. That'll take a lot less time.
I don't know. My first massage was done at my bachelorette party. My girlfriends took me to a lovely spa in Lake Geneva, and they didn't know what services I wanted, so they kind of made me wear a stupid headpiece to show that I was going to be married. I don't know why.
What kind of a headpiece?
You know, like a veil kind of thing.
And you had to wear that for how long?
Pretty much the whole weekend.
That's fun.
And so they took me to this place, and it was nice and on the up and up, and they didn't know what services I wanted, so they booked me a relaxing bath. And I'm like, I don't really like baths, but thank you. And then I was stressing out just trying to lay there. There's candles everywhere, and it's like, I really don't want to be in a bath. I'd rather be getting a mani or a pedi or a massage. Then I get the first massage of my life, and it's a man. And I really didn't think twice about it.
But you had the option, right? Don't they ask you as part of the pre-massage?
I wasn't asked because my girlfriends booked me these appointments.
Oh.
So the guy walked in and said, hi, my name is Chuck, and I will be massaging you today. And honest to God, you guys, the first
thing. Dressed like a policeman or a fireman?
It was an ice cream man.
The first thing he said to me after introducing himself, he said, okay, I will be massaging you today. So if there's any areas that need special work, let me know.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
And if I touch you anywhere that is uncomfortable, please let me know. So how do you relax after that? Your first ever massage, some dude walks in and says, if I touch you somewhere that's uncomfortable, please let me know. Then I couldn't relax the whole time.
But how brilliant is the wording of that? Because that's a nice way of saying there may be some areas that are gray, and
I'm
if
not
you
that
if
old.
You're, no, you know what I mean.
They're not even gray that you might think are gray,
right?
And they typically ask what needs work.
Do they?
Right.
Yeah.
Like you know, I hold a lot of stress in my shoulders, my trapezius muscle, very tight, my back, upper back, neck.
But was that a way of saying? If you want me to travel into the Forbidden Zone, I'm speaking like a Planet of the Apes movie. If you want me, if you want a massage in places that are borderline dangerous, let me know.
No. I think he was trying to say, if I get too close to those, danger zones, just please speak up.
Ring the spell.
Yeah, just say, hey, uncomfortable.
Well, he just wants you to be comfortable.
Right, but it made me more uncomfortable by him saying that.
I bet.
But he probably did the right thing.
Yeah.
I think some of these people who were masseuses or masseurs.
Yeah.
Most of them masseurs. They were men.
Yeah.
They probably didn't have their opening line going, if I get a little close to somewhere, let me know.
Yeah. Hmm.
It's weird. Massages are weird.
I'm hooked up like the guy in Operation, and if you hit the wrong area, yeah, my nose lights up and I make that noise.
Why do I envision that really being the case?
That's true. I'm not making that up. All right. What are your thoughts on this? We're at 312-981-7200. We would love to hear from you. Again, that's 312-981-7200. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
All right. So it's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We were talking about sexual abuse allegations. We were talking about some of the people who came forward accusing some masseurs at Massage Envy. BuzzFeed is the one who reported that 180 people have, quote, filed sexual assault lawsuits, police reports, and state board complaints against Massage Envy spas, their employees, and the national company.
I saw this woman on the news last night who told the story about being at Massage Envy and having this guy who was giving her a massage and how inappropriate it got. She didn't say anything there, but as she was driving home, she was getting more and more angry at what took place. So when she got home, she called the Massage Envy where this took place and said, here's what happened to me. And they said, well, that guy is currently giving somebody a massage. And she said, well, you have to get in there and stop this. I don't want him to do that to her, what he just did to me. And they said, now, once this session has started, we can't just interrupt the session.
But I get that, Bill. I mean, who knows? This lady could have been maybe dating this guy and she's trying to blackmail him.
Yeah, I know.
Just a call like that would be weird.
It would be weird, and I was trying to think if I was managing there, what I would have done in that situation. I don't know if they have some sort of company policy that says we have to wait until. I mean, realistically, you say it should be proved before we take this guy out of his job. But this guy had other allegations.
Right.
It wasn't his only.
But this clerk who answered the phone didn't know
right,
that.
Right, of course.
And then I would say something to the manager. And then after that session was over, I would have the manager maybe pull the woman aside and go, can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah.
Anything untoward go on in there? And, you know, you think about it. I've had maybe three massages in my whole life. And if something is like going a little haywire, or maybe they're touching me where I don't think I should be touched, I got to be honest with you, I am so naive about massages, I would be like, oh, well, maybe this is...
No. Yeah.
Seriously, maybe. I wouldn't... I mean, if it made me feel uncomfortable, I'd probably go, dude, really?
Right,
come on.
Right.
But if you're inexperienced with getting a massage, I honestly,
you don't
know
what
that sounds
the boundaries
stupid,
are?
But I am a little naive about that.
Yeah.
Aaron's on the line. Hi, Aaron. How are you?
Hi. I'm not sure if I'm naive, but I guess I'm not. I guess I'm very proactive. I had given my husband a coupon for a massage, and he kept saying, you know, I want a massage, and I give it to him. And he goes, well, I'm not going to do that. And I'm like, well, then why did you say that?
Hmm.
So finally, it was going to expire, and I'm like, I'm not letting this expire. I'll go and do it. So I go to a nice place. It was very nice, and I walk in. I had never had a massage before, and it's kind of a dark, I don't know, relaxing place.
Yeah.
And it's this guy there, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, I give him my name, and he's like, okay, let's go. I'm going to be giving you your massage. And I'm like, huh. So I go in, and he tells me what to do, and he says, knock on the door when you're ready. I go, okay. So he comes in, and he starts talking to me. Nice guy. But he asked me, what do I do for a living? I'm a nurse. I said to him, I go, I'm a DuPage County Sheriff.
Oh.
And I just thought, you know what, dude, just in case.
Yeah.
You were thinking of something. And then he's talking, what does your husband do? I go, I met him on the job. I go, he's a sheriff, too. Got my massage. He was a nice guy. But it was the first time I had ever had something and my radar went up.
Yeah, so sure.
The guy was nice. But if anyone's ever going to have a massage and the opposite sex and your radar goes up, tell them you're a Chicago police, you know, police officer.
I like that.
So that was my only story on a massage. I never had another one.
Well, thank you for sharing. Yeah, those are way better in my opinion. Foot massage.
We can't treat everybody like they're criminals.
I know. Aaron, thank you so much. And that's why we need to get John's call on. We're almost out of time. So John, go ahead.
Oh, hey, I get regular massages. I go to this Korean health spa in Niles.
Mm-hmm.
They have a female, like it's co-ed, but there's also segregated men's side, women's side. I go with my wife. And the massages are done back in the segregated areas. I've never been to a place or seen a place where, other than maybe just your chair massage at the mall, where men and women are giving each other massages. So I'm surprised that there'd be a place that would have men massaging women, especially undraped or unclothed and in a legitimate setting.
Yeah.
Although, come on, you guys, because there are men, OBGYN. I mean, you know, there are people, I've heard of that frequently. It's just,
absolutely,
you can't be inappropriate. John, thank you so much for calling.
And at the health club, they always, if you're filling out a form to get a massage,
you can request.
You request a man or woman. Yeah. Whatever you're comfortable with.
I request a handsome man.
You do? You write in the word handsome?
Never
sometimes
works.
I say three ladies.
All right. We have to take a quick break and then...
And then
Mr.
a meeting.
Newsman.
Then a short
well,
meeting.
Yes.
All right, we'll take a quick break and then some news. It's Phil and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks. It's Phil Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And our friend Brent Sopel joins us for another edition of Sopel Says, where we talk about all things Blackhawks. Brent, how are you? Everything good?
You know, I could complain, but I know you guys don't want to listen.
No.
No,
you
what's
know what?
Going on?
You let us know. How
lay
can
on
we
our
help?
Couch.
Please.
This real world thing, I don't know about it.
Hey, we don't either. That's why we watch hockey, to escape.
Yes. Yes.
I couldn't agree more.
Although not a great game last night, huh?
Well, you know what? You got to take into consideration the opponent. You know, let's go back to the playoffs last year where they got swept. Nashville is probably the best team in the Western Conference right now. I would say it is neck and neck between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Nashville Predators right now for being the best team in the NHL. So for the Hawks to outshoot them, take them down to the wire, there was some they played a fairly good game, you know, considering it was a back-to-back situation. So I would take a look at it as glass half full.
Wendy says their outfits, their uniforms, are too distracting.
First of all, can I just explain something, Brent? Bill is the one who says outfits,
I like
okay?
To say outfits.
So last night I'm watching the game with my husband, and I said, boy, you know, the outfits of the Nashville Preds, they look like the Killer Bees. I don't like that gold. I'm sorry.
Well, no, the mustard or diarrhea helmet. Oh, yeah.
All right, you don't like them either.
No, they're awful. You know, it's the... Boston Bruins used to have some bad jerseys, but the mustard is horrendous. I don't even know how the NHL could allow that.
It hurts your eyes, doesn't it? You can't look at it for too long, but maybe that's by design. Maybe they know what they're doing when they do that.
Well, they're in Nashville. They're all usually too drunk, you know. They don't know. And they listen to that awful country music all the time, so there's a lot of things going wrong.
Yep. Now, if you look at the last eight games that the Blackhawks have played in, they've gone 5-2-1, and that's not a bad thing. That's a pretty good trend, wouldn't you think?
No, absolutely. Obviously, 5-2-1 is moving in the right direction. Obviously, they won four straight coming into last night's game, and they're getting contributions from everybody, and that's the only way you can win here in the NHL. You go to Nashville, they've got Nick Bonino as a third-line center who's won back-to-back Stanley Cup championships with Pittsburgh last year. Teams are deep. You just can't rely on one or two lines. You need contributions from everybody now.
You know, we were all very excited about our Artemi Panarin, this young guy who comes in and does amazing things. But now we've got Alex DeBrincat, who's younger and first hat trick ever for DeBrincat. Meow.
All right, let's for that cannot happen anymore on this show.
Right, I'm with you.
Come on, DeBrincat. Come on.
I'm not a dog guy. I'm not a cat guy. So we got.
All right. Well, that was so darned exciting. Now, if I heard this correctly, Jeremy Roenick still holds the youngest hat trick. Correct.
For the Blackhawks. Yeah.
For the Blackhawks. Yeah. Correct. But let's put this in consideration. He's 19 years old. What were you doing, Wendy, when you were 19?
Nothing that I could say on the air.
Learning to make that cat noise, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
I know, that blows me away.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what you know. That's what gets lost here, and you know, a lot of people that just don't consider it, don't think back. He's 19 years old. He's obviously not allowed to even go and have a drink. That's how young he is. But you know, he's a great young prospect. Just 50 goal seasons in junior, and now that's what we need. That's what the Blackhawks need. That's what every team needs. You've got to have guys like that step up every single night. You know, when you're in a salary cap world, which we are, and you have guys making a lot of money, you need those low guys, you know, to contribute on a regular basis. And that's what I was talking about, getting scoring from everywhere. Well, you need your low money guys, which are third and fourth lines, to contribute, and guys like, you know, DeBrincat to, you know, put up points on a regular basis. Because if not, you're not going to be successful, you know, in the NHL.
But doesn't that put the pressure on your Patrick Sharps and your Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews?
Well, 100%. You know, you talk about the, you know, Toews and Kane, you know, your two highest paid players. They're the highest paid players for a reason. You know, you're our leaders. You know, the franchise is being built around you. You've won 3 Stanley Cups. That's why, you know, we're paying you the money. So, yeah, is it a lot of pressure? 100%. But, you know, I know those guys, they like that pressure. They like to lead, knowing the organization's being built around them. It's more pressure on the other guys, you know, guys like Patrick Sharp, who finally, you know, scored a goal, his first goal in, you know, 17 games. We need him, you know, with his low salary to, you know, to contribute offensively on a regular basis. And, you know, Tommy Wingles and Lance Boma and, you know, guys on the third and fourth line that aren't making that money, big money, those are the guys that we're really counting on to get that extra offense in there.
Brent, once a guy scores a hat trick like DeBrincat did against Anaheim the other night, do the other guys in the team go out of their way to get him the puck the rest of the way to maybe get a fourth and even fifth goal?
Well, you know, obviously, you take a look at that 2-on-1 when he did score that, you know, his hat trick goal. You know, Patrick Kane had zero intention, you know, on shooting a puck. That's the kind of class act that Kaner is. He knew exactly the situation that, you know, he had 2 goals. He knew exactly the brink of where he was going. So he was passing that all the way to get him that hat trick. So whenever a guy like that is, you know, on the roll, playing that well, feeling that good, you always want to get him the puck, no question, because it's more apt to go in because he's shooting it than anybody else. But, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to Patrick Kane, making sure he finds a way to get him that puck and get him that hat trick.
Former Blackhawk Brent Sopel on the line with us. All right, so Alex DeBrincat, 19 years old. How does that work with the other players? I mean, do they ask him to hang out? I know he can't legally drink, but is he kind of isolated, or does everybody try to include him? I can't believe he's only 19 yeah. years old.
No, you always try and include him in everywhere you go. You know, you always take care of the young guys, the rookies, no matter who it is. So going to dinners on the road, or what do you got going on tonight? You know, yeah, I used to have guys come over to my house. I remember, you know, we mm-hmm. hosted the Christmas party. You know, 1 year had everybody over the house. So, you know, as a veteran guy, that's your responsibility, is to make sure that he's taken care of, and all the young guys are taken care of. Nick Schmaltz, you know, he's been around a little bit, but still a young guy. You know, Hartman, same type of thing. You know, Forsling. So you always make sure that those guys are taken care of, no matter what it is at home. You know, say for Thanksgiving, if they were, you know, here in Chicago, hey, what do you guys got going on? Come over here. That's just part of being a veteran player and being in the league for a while, is you make sure those guys are taken care of.
How sweet is that?
That's very nice. He's not old enough to drink, Brett, but I'm sure they got him a juice box or something, right? They must have.
Probably, if they were smart, they probably would have gotten a few Cocoa Fives.
Yeah.
coconut water. Yeah. Or, you know, bring it over, a little treat.
That's delicious.
All right, forgive me for not knowing this former Blackhawk, and maybe you do. Former NHL left winger John Scott played with the Blackhawks from 2011 to 2012. Do you know him?
Yep. I played against him many, many years.
He's going to be on an episode of the SWAT television show. He is going to play Bobby Strock, a player who needs SWAT protection since he received death threats after returning to town for the first time since injuring a popular player on a dirty hit.
Wow.
pretty exciting.
I haven't gotten any offers, you know, my TV career. I guess it's, you know, my luck speaks for itself.
Well, we got to get you a role on Chicago Hockey. Aren't they starting
Chicago
a new
hockey.
Show?
We'll get you on there.
Chicago something.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll find you something, Brent. I promise. Yeah. Well, thanks for all the...
What are you guys doing here? You guys just said you're going to work for me. Obviously not.
We'll work we'll a little harder. When's the next game?
Tomorrow night.
Against Dallas?
Yeah.
The next tour against Dallas, right?
Yeah, you know, Dallas is a good team with a lot of scoring. They went and got Ben Bishop. So, you know, it's a team that you have to play smart against. You can't turn the puck over. You got Tyra Seguin, one of the best goal scorers, Radulov, and their captain, Jamie Benn. So, you know, you got to be, got to play a real smart game like they did last night, you know, in Nashville, because Dallas can hurt you if you turn the puck over too many times.
Well, let's go Hawks. Thank you so much, Brent. We appreciate talking to you.
Anyway, have a great hump day.
Thank you, Brent.
Right.
That's
back
Brent
at you.
Sobel.
Meow.
So you said not to do that.
See you, Brent. Brent Sobel, of course, Sobel says, sponsored by Coors Light. Coors Light believes every climb deserves a refreshing finish. Climb on.
One more time. Go ahead.
You know I wanted to.
Go ahead.
Meow.
There it is. Back after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, it's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Dr. John Duffy will be with us after the 11 o'clock news.
Wendy, there's a story that's being reported by Huffington Post and other major news sources. And Steve was the one who called it to my attention very early this morning. And it has to do with, Steve, and if you're available, please jump in at any time. It has to do with Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, who has retweeted three very disturbing videos of, I guess the way to break it down, Steve, most accurately, is to say that each of the videos features a person who's a Muslim doing something untoward. Is that correct?
Or, yeah, I guess. I mean, there's in one of them, it looks as if there are a group of people throwing a teenager off of a rooftop. In a second one, there's a guy who is purported to be Muslim, I guess, you know, and he's got a ceramic statue of the Virgin Mary, and he throws it to the ground and crushes it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that would be offensive to many people.
Yeah.
And then the third, there's what is they say is a Dutch boy, a teenager on crutches near a canal.
Yeah.
And there's someone's videoing it, and another young man who is the Muslim in the picture goes up to him, puts his arm around him, and then starts wailing on him, beating him up.
All right. So all three of these videos have been retweeted by the president.
Well, they were sent out by this, I think it's called Britain First, this right-wing group, and they call themselves a political party. I don't think they've ever stood for office. And the woman who's behind it actually was arrested last year for violence. She was on a quote-unquote Christian walk or Christian patrol.
This is Jada Franson?
Jada Franson, and started yelling at a woman in a hijab in England. So mm-hmm. she was actually charged with a crime for that. And then so somehow the president gets these tweets and then retweets them. Jada Franzen then quickly said Donald Trump himself retweeted these videos. He has around 44 million followers. God bless you, Trump, and God bless America.
Mm-hmm.
So she's blessing all of us for the president's tweets here. Opposition leaders in England are saying that the British government, the Theresa May government, should rescind their invitation to the president to visit. And in fact, Downing Street, Theresa May herself, said in a statement that the president should not have done this today.
His
even
purpose
more
in
remarkable,
this... Oh, go ahead.
Perhaps, so you can pick your most remarkable. Right. I'll play some sound in the 11 o'clock. Sarah Sanders was asked about this, and her response, you know, about, hey, you don't even know if these videos are real. And even if they are, I'm not sure the purpose of retweeting it, but you don't know if they're real. And she said, well, it doesn't really matter. The threat is real, and the videos show the threat.
Oh, but it does matter. It matters a lot. And also, I don't know if you know this part of it, but they've traced these videos. These are they're nothing current. They date back to 2013. So I don't know why they're just seeing the light of day now, or maybe they're being brought back now. But I'm curious as to, I talked to you about this early this morning. His motivation in this is, I guess, to say, look, here's three more examples of very dangerous people, these Muslims.
Well, I don't understand what the motivation is, frankly. It makes, I mean, I don't know what he's trying to build support for.
Right.
You know, they are videos. I don't know what happened with the first one. I didn't watch the, you know, if the person who was pushed off, you know, was badly hurt. I'm assuming so.
If they're legit,
you know, someone,
at all.
Someone, you know, for the President of the United States to tweet a video, a 40-second video of someone smashing a statue of the Virgin Mary, I'm not sure.
Right.
What, you know, I don't know what the motivation is for it, Bill.
I'm perplexed. I'm befuddled.
I mean, I don't know where it came from. It's not like he's trying to build support for a ban or restriction or that. It just sort of came out of the blue.
Right. So if we're keeping score, these videos of Muslims doing horrendous things are real, but the excess Hollywood video that we all saw a year ago is not real, according to the White House. Is that right? Is that where we think stand right now?
Well, that's up to you, but right. Apparently he's been telling some people he's not sure it's authentic.
Right.
Oh, my good Lord.
Yeah. It just doesn't seem, I mean, love him or hate him, this doesn't seem presidential in any way, does it? There's never been a president, and I know that tweeting is a new thing, that in the early days of
Obama was the first one to have a Twitter account of presidents, I believe.
Yeah. But let's say that Twitter or something
similar. He used it differently.
Right. He used it extremely differently. Let's say that Twitter or something like Twitter had been around 200 years ago. I don't think it would be in any president's makeup other than the current president to do this sort of thing, to just say, well, here's something that looks bad that I think America should be in on. I'll throw it on the Twitter and see what the reaction is.
You know,
you got to figure these guys are politicians, so they do things for a purpose.
Right.
He's on the cusp of his first big win.
Right.
You know,
right.
The Senate, the Budget Committee, or the Senate Banking Committee, I think it was passed the tax bill yesterday.
Right.
The full Senate is expected to vote on it soon. It looks like they're going to get it done. This is going to be, you know, good news for him.
So why go in this direction when that direction seems the obvious?
I can't sort it out. I don't know.
Or maybe the other thing is, the North Korea situation certainly flared up yesterday.
Oh, yeah. But wag the dog.
But yeah, I guess. Yeah.
No, that dog is real. He's not making, you know, wag the dog was about a politician making up a foreign crisis. This is a real one. Again, and that works for him in a way.
Right.
You know, he's been talking against this guy. And so, you know, he could talk about the threat from UN, but to distract everyone with this.
It seems bizarre.
It doesn't make sense.
Right. Right, right, right.
I just, you know, half of me thinks it's kind of interesting that a president can use Twitter to speak to the masses.
It is interesting.
Like, you don't, I know, but I mean, you know, you don't have to have a press conference. You can get your message
right
out there, but then it puts the pressure on you to be careful what that message is.
That hasn't happened yet.
Well, he's the first one to,
he's not been
I don't
careful.
Even know.
All right. We'll take a break. We've got news coming up in just a little bit. Dr. John Duffy stops by. But
I don't think I've ever seen you play the air. What was that?
It was the
banjo?
Lute. Air lute. I'm one of the country's top air lutists.
Oh, congratulations.
Come see me. I'm at Hollywood Star Plaza. John
Thank
Duffy
God
is
our
here.
Clinical psychiatrist, our psychologist friend is here.
Thank goodness. He's here to help. Oh. John Duffy is here to help. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
John's book is The Available Parent. You could get this for somebody as a holiday gift. That wouldn't be a bad thing.
Wouldn't be a bad thing at all.
No.
I'm glad you brought it up.
No.
Yeah.
Everybody is talking about sexual harassment. Every day, new names come forward today. Of course, Matt Lauer, no longer the host of the Today Show because of allegations that have been made against him. NBC decided to pull the plug on Matt Lauer. Mm-hmm.
And there is no judge, jury, executioner. It's like word comes out, fired, done.
Yeah, it happened really quick, right? I mean, this was an overnight thing. Although, from what I understand, Variety has been kind of working on this for a while.
Yeah.
And maybe this was close to coming out. And they decided to do a preemptive strike kind of thing at the Today Show. I'm not sure exactly how that played out, but
and
it did seem fast.
Bill mentioned off the air, because I said that to you, it's like in the old days, you know, there'd be accusations and there'd be something to find out later. And you said there must be some pretty good evidence knowing that they removed him right away.
This is a big move. This is huge.
It is.
In your years as a clinical psychologist, you have worked with people who have been on both sides of the story, you have counseled men who have been sexual harassers, and you've been with women. You have counseled women who have been harassed.
I have.
What's the commonality?
Yeah. So One thing I think is I think sometimes in the media we're using the wrong terminology, because that I hear a lot that men are kind of empowered through their positions to be harassers. And the guys I've worked with, I can't say I feel like they feel powerful. That I sense more in the way of self-loathing, anxiety, depression. I think they feel emboldened by their positions to exert dominion over women through sexual assault. But I think there's a difference between, like, you know, I feel good about myself and I feel powerful, because the men I've worked with, they do not feel good about themselves. I mean, they have been mandated into therapy, but they've needed it badly, you know?
When the Louis C.K. stuff broke, and we had discussed this as well, his modus operandi was a little different. And to me, I was thinking, that does not show a powerful man. That shows someone who, I don't know, is I can't think of the word, but them performing something on themselves does not show power. It's almost like it's, I can't think of the word.
Well, I'll give you a couple words and let me know if I'm close. To me, it feels sad to some extent,
yes.
You know, kind of pathetic in the truest sense of the word. It also feels like almost a vicious act of aggression. You know, what he did, you know, like really a harsh, aggressive act. That does feel like I'm exerting power over you. I'm going to force you to witness this wretched moment, you know? And so, you know, and maybe that gives him this kind of momentary feel good that, okay, I was able to force somebody into this position. But I think Louis's bit has always been, I don't like myself.
Yeah, right.
You shouldn't like me either. You
right.
know? So, you know, I think he might argue, were he out here, you know, I haven't been lying necessarily about that part, because I really do have this self-loathing underneath. And that's been my experience with these
that
men.
That makes sense.
But
see, maybe I'm 1,000% off on this, but I thought that the thing that excited him, pleasuring himself with women there, was his way of saying, I'm not physically touching these women, so they don't really have anything on me. I'm touching myself. They're here, but I'm not physically harming them. He's wrong.
And he asked their permission.
Yeah,
permission. Which, again, he's a comic. He's a goofball.
They thought he was kidding.
I would totally think, yeah, right, go ahead.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's probably turned a corner to what are you doing very quickly. And it probably, honestly, is an amalgam of what we're saying here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like maybe he was able to kind of pitch this as a bit, right? You know, this is going to be this funny moment between us or something like that. But if you hear women talking about the moment, about the visual, about what they were pressed into, it really is pretty awful to have to witness that, right? You know, regardless of whether he thinks this is light or funny or something like that, in reality, deep down, I think he knows that this is the darkest side of his personality.
Right.
Yeah.
So Matt Lauer, he's somebody who appears to be on top of the world.
Yeah.
This one kind of surprised me. I know every day I come in, Bill, and I'm like, this one shocked me. But Matt Lauer did. He seems to be attractive. And you mentioned the best thing earlier, which I would like Dr. Duffy to comment on, when you said, you know, he's reporting on all these men in the news that have these issues. Go ahead. You say your own words.
Well, I can't figure out is as he's reporting every day more and more men, captains of industry, heads of entertainment, is he saying somewhere in the back of his brain, at some point, my name's going to be on this list. They're going to catch me without a doubt. What do you think?
You've got to think. I agree with you. I would imagine that the last month has been a very anxiety-provoking month. I can imagine that there are publicists and lawyers being called and marshaling forces, you know, like in case this happens, in case this, you know, and it feels more and more likely if you're a well-known man and you've done something like this, that this is going to happen. I suspect that there are many more shoes yet to drop and a lot of meetings happening, you know, in a panicked way.
Like
right
preemptive
now.
Strike meetings?
Preemptive strike meetings, yes. And I agree with you, Wendy, that, you know, Matt Lauer surprises me. But I would guess that somewhere he feels a little powerless over women. The men I've worked with, and again, that's conjecture. I don't know Matt Lauer, but, you know, the men I've worked with would say they feel some resentment toward women and a lack of power with regard to women, even if they reach a really high position. I've worked with a couple of guys who were like, you know, CEO status guys and still felt this kind of insecurity, the deep insecurity toward women.
Can we do this? Let's take a quick break, and then we want to get your take on what parents can do and should do with their children, most notably their boys, as if to say, look at what the end result is.
Yeah.
All right, so let's figure that out next. John Duffy's our guest. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, we're talking with Dr. John Duffy, a regular guest of ours. He's our show psychologist, I guess we could say that safely.
Yeah, he's on retainer. We call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. John, before I hint at a question that's coming your way in just a few moments about how we handle this with our children and how we guide them. Here's a quick question, though. Because of how easy it is to get toward pornography right now.
Right.
It's on
I'm
every,
looking at it right now.
Wendy's watching it as we speak.
Inappropriate, Wendy, by the way. Really.
Inappropriate. But does this create an unfair expectation for the people who are watching it, mostly men, not exclusively men, but mostly men, saying, well, I've seen 1,000 videos where this sort of thing is normal, so it must be normal. Is that happening?
No doubt. And
really? Who believes that's normal?
Well, if you're brought up in that culture. So, you know, you think about how boys are brought up, right? So and boys are brought up differently than girls, I think, in a lot of ways. I think there's a lot of winks and nods, especially about girls. But when Bill and I were kids, you know, in order to get to a Playboy magazine, which was the biggest deal, you know, you had to get past the clerk and the counter. And, you know, at some point it wasn't worth it unless somebody had an older brother or something.
We had that. Even then, one guy was on the other guy's shoulders and then we'd have a coat over it so we'd look like an adult even though we were kids. We stole that from the Little Rascals, and it worked. Right. Like
it was harder to come by.
And now, you know, all our kids have immediate access to
anything
the most,
they want.
Anything we want. Yeah. And, you know, and stuff that they are not at all prepared to see.
That is true.
Right? All prepared. And, you know, and you can put, there are all sorts of devices you can put on your phone and warnings and cautions. But still, kids are clever. They know their way around these things. And if they don't, they have a buddy who does. So kids do see pornography and they see pretty graphic pornography, and they might get a twisted view of what relationships are like, what sexual relationships are like. And I do think that plays a role here. Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
So what do we do? Girls are different. Just raising girls, I think parents today are saying be strong, speak up if you're spoken to inappropriately.
Yeah.
Girls are being raised to be stronger than when I was growing up.
And I was talking to a young woman the other day who had been victimized in this way. And she said, I wish this had happened now because I'd feel like I could say something right now. So there's something about this moment that's kind of a watershed moment, I think, for, you know, sexual assault and the silence around it. Right. Because I think women feel a little more powerful, like, OK, I can speak up without losing my gig, losing my career, losing my livelihood, you know, which is a big deal, you know, and losing my sense of self-worth, that it's OK to speak up and I'm not going to be demeaned or belittled in any significant way.
Or to feel responsible.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that's a big problem where women feel like, oh, it was my fault. Well, with all this coming out, you're realizing it's not your fault.
Right. Right. And that's a really important message. I think that hashtag MeToo campaign had a lot to do with that.
All right. So now the way that workplaces are structured, we now see, thankfully, women achieving higher places in businesses than ever before. So is this happening in reverse too? Are women forcing guys to do stuff that they don't want? Or is it just strictly a guy thing, part of a guy's DNA to want to do something like this?
I was thinking about this on the way here, and I'm sure that there are some women who have acted in this way inappropriately.
Yeah.
But proportionately, I'll bet it's just
way
a couple percent. Yeah.
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 So yeah, I have two teenage boys. I try to raise them to respect women. In our household, both Jim and I do non-traditional mom and dad things. So sometimes, you know, mom is a little handier and fixes something. And sometimes dad handles the kitchen stuff, you know, just to show that doesn't matter if you're a guy or a girl, you all pitch in and help.
Yeah.
What can we do with young boys to teach them that this is totally wrong to disrespect women like this?
I think sometimes it's not necessarily a lecture, but subtle messages like you and Jim give your boys. This idea that, you know, like men and women are equals. So dad is just as appropriate to be in the kitchen as mom is. And, you know, mom's is just appropriate to be at work as dad is, you know. And sometimes a lecture's appropriate, too, to talk to them and say, you know, this isn't just about not getting caught doing something. This is about treating everybody, men and women alike, with respect and kindness and thoughtfulness, you know? And I got to say to parents out there, you know, if you don't take advantage of this watershed moment to talk to your boys about, you know, respect for girls and women,
yeah,
this is just too great an opportunity to let pass by.
So a generation ago, I don't know what happened with you, but I was told from day one, under no circumstances hit a girl. There's never a situation where it's right to hit a girl.
Right.
So do we add on to that, not just not hit a girl, but treat them as an equal? What do we say as an addendum to that?
There's a great book out, and it's a little guide for parents to talk to their kids about sex. And the name of the book, I love. It's just, Can I Kiss You?
Mm-hmm.
And effectively, it's just like consent. You know what I mean? Like, make sure mm-hmm. that you have somebody's consent before you touch them, before you violate their space, you know? And I think that's a great message for boys to carry, right? Because boys are historically typically aggressors, more assertive than girls in this regard, right? Sexually. And I think just recognizing, like, there's so much respect built into that phrase, can I kiss you, right? I'm attracted to you, I'm interested in you, but I'm not going to force anything on you here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And that alone, I mean, I recommend that book highly for parents who are confused about how to talk to their boys about this issue.
It's funny, though, because if you've grown up watching television or seeing movies, that's never part of the scene.
Right.
It probably should be, but it isn't. It just... You know, the chemistry just works and everybody looks at each other in the eyes and then they start kissing each other.
That's true.
But maybe it's time that we added on the most important question.
And right? I'm picturing a scene right now where that question falls in, and I can picture that working just as romantically, yeah. right? I think yeah. that's completely reasonable.
I think it's really sweet and tender if a guy, you know, is, you get to that moment where you're looking at each other and a guy just very sweetly says, can I kiss you? Mm. I mean, that would be respectful.
Right.
That would be women, you know, women don't like these hard ass guys. We really do like some sensitivity. We don't want you to cry more than we do, but we do like some sensitive
right, right.
sides.
And we have to remember also that what we're talking about, the movie scene,
yeah.
that's in the context of a relationship that is mutual. And you can feel it even in the movie. You can feel it blossoming in a mutual
right.
way. And these sexual assault allegations, there is no mutuality. That's the big difference, right? Is that this is like something that's being perpetrated from one person onto another.
Yeah.
And so there, it isn't a romantic moment. It's a for one person a horrifying moment that affects trust and self-esteem and self-worth and you know a lot of things moving forward in her life. You know,
yeah.
so. I don't want to overlook the residual damage that even a moment like this can cause because I've worked with women on this end, and it's the damage is
it haunts
massive.
Them forever, doesn't
oh,
it?
Oh my gosh, it really does.
Yeah.
It really does, and it colors almost everything about their relationships and their world, and sometimes their feelings about themselves.
Yeah,
yeah, that's self-blame, Wendy.
You are awesome. You really are. He's Dr. John Duffy, and you can find him on Twitter. You can find his podcast, Undue Anxiety, wherever your favorite podcast is found, and you can also find it on WGN Plus. And your book, The Available Parent, it would make a good stocking stuffer.
I think it would.
I like it.
I do. John, thank you.
Thank
that's
you, guys.
Dr. John Duffy. We'll take a quick break, then some news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Kim Gordon. Hey, it's the Christmas time of the year, and we like to give. It's the giving season, and we have a pair of tickets to see a pretty phenomenal guitarist. He has his noted finger style, his finger picking, Tommy Emmanuel. He will be performing his greatest hits and classic Christmas songs this Saturday, December 2nd. It's at Rockford's Coronado Performing Arts Center. So if you're near Rockford, if you feel like taking a little road trip to Rockford, we have a pair of tickets for you right now if you are the fifth caller at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Caller 5, Jasmine. And you can go see Tommy Emmanuel at Rockford's Coronado Performing Arts Center. You can get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com or be the fifth caller right now.
All right, so we're just still digesting the news about Matt Lauer from earlier this morning. Matt Lauer out as host of the Today Show because of improper sexual allegations.
During the Olympics, correct?
During the Olympics, during the Sochi Olympics a couple years ago.
Was that when, what's his name, had the pink eye? Bob Costas?
I think it was, yeah.
I'll never forget
that. I think it was, right.
Poor Bob Costas.
That was a rough time for Bob Costas. And now, as you heard Kim report in the news just moments ago, Garrison Keillor from Public Radio is also out of a job for similar allegations. And we were talking about how as these names come down the pike each day now, some of them are more shocking than others.
Coming down the pike, that's very Garrison Keillor-esque of you.
Right.
It's coming down the pike.
I'm as shocked as shock can be. He seems to be the most gentle man ever, Garrison Keillor, and now this.
I'm telling you, this is going to keep happening, and the people you hear about are, you're going to go, there is no way.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the story. Garrison Keillor, former host of A Prairie Home Companion, says he has been fired from Minnesota Public Radio over allegations of improper behavior. Keillor told the AP of his firing in an email. In a follow-up statement, he says he was fired over a story that I think is more interesting and more complicated than the version that NPR heard.
Uh-oh.
He did not give details of the allegation, however. Minnesota Public Radio didn't immediately respond to messages. Keillor retired last year from his longtime radio show, but still produced The Writer's Almanac for syndication.
All right. That is weird that he's saying, I think that it's more interesting and more complicated than what has been reported.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
Well, all right. So he's not denying it, but he's not admitting to it. He's just saying it's more interesting. And interesting is a very ambiguous word. It could mean a thousand different things. So until he elaborates on what that means exactly, we don't know. But that's where things stand with Garrison Keillor.
Now, I'm taking it to mean, and I'm probably reading this wrong, in a follow-up statement, he says he was fired over, quote, a story that I think is more interesting and more complicated than the version NPR heard. So it's worse than what was reported. That's how I'm taking that.
Maybe. Worse for him or worse?
Yeah, like, yeah. You know, what was reported. Wait, you haven't heard it yet. Wait till I tell my side of the story.
Oh, I
am not that familiar with Garrison Keillor. I know he did his A Prairie Home Companion.
Forever.
Explain that to me. I never really heard it.
All right, so Prairie Home Companion was like a throwback to old-time radio. It seemed very, almost 1960s in style. It was a variety show that he kind of presided over, and it was just gentle. It was about, you know, the people of Minnesota and the area around Minnesota, and they would come on, and some of them would play musical instruments, and some of them would tell stories. And
really?
It just, yeah, it was a throwback to a simpler time.
Like,
it was
come very sit on my porch and let's chat kind of thing?
Yeah.
Was it near a creek or something?
Yeah. Yeah. It was just gentle, you know? It was just really, like, soothing and gentle by design. And I got to be honest, I always found it interesting, but I'd always, like, my radio in my car doesn't have a fast button, but I'd go, this would be better if it was faster, but not really, because they wanted to capture the flavor of, remember when the Darlin boys would come down to Mayberry and they'd just be on the porch playing their banjos and stuff? It was that kind of a feeling.
And how long did it run?
1,000 years.
It's been a really long time,
yeah,
huh?
For a long time. Yeah,
I seem to.
They made it into a movie.
Yeah,
with Meryl Streep was in the movie, and Garrison Keillor was also in the movie.
So how does this happen?
That's a good question.
I'm setting you up for the river or the creek.
Like, whoa, he's gone. That was the punchline. That sadly I came up with.
Grabbed it when I said it was a near creek.
Oh, it was near a creek. A creek in his neck.
I don't know. By the end of the day, I bet there's more.
Well, you know, we've been averaging one or two a day, and it as strange as this is, it is a good thing. I mean, we're losing a lot of great people, but I guess they deserve to be lost, I guess.
But
know?
Does this open the floodgates and, you know, of someone, you could just throw somebody's name out there, say you have a feud with someone and you want to get someone in trouble?
Well, it's strange because almost none of these guys that have been accused have said, oh, no, I'm innocent. Mostly they have said,
no, there have been a lot.
Have there?
The political ones have said this is absolutely not true. In fact, Louis C.K. and Stuart Smalley, Al Franken, those are the only two that I seem to remember they admitted it.
Mark Halperin, the author,
admitted
it immediately. Charlie Rose didn't fight it in any way, shape, or form. Matt Lauer, if you were Matt Lauer today and you didn't agree with this, you'd say, wait a minute, I'm being framed. I didn't do anything wrong. He has not done that.
But he didn't admit to it.
Right. Well, he
not saying anything
to it, but
is,
I think, yeah, I
yeah, but that's
think
not the
not,
same as like, you know, with Al Franken going, oh my God, I certainly didn't mean to hurt anyone. I'm not saying one
Weinstein,
is right.
Harvey Weinstein admitted to it, but his excuse was is that he was brought up in a time where this was acceptable.
Try wrong, again.
Couldn't have a wronger answer.
But Matt Lauer is not, I mean, he may by the end of the day come out and say, I did some bad things and I'm really sorry. But at this point, I'm not hearing any comment from him.
Who was it that took a lie detector test last week? One of the accused guys took a lie detector test, but I don't remember who it was. There's so many of these now. George H.W. Bush admitted to it and apologized. So there's
this
been...
was cracking me up.
Why?
Capofeel?
Oh, yeah. That's so bizarre.
It's not right, but I'm sorry. It's like goofy old man. That's what I'm thinking. It's still wrong.
I think for most of us, when you hear that version of it and Charlie Rose's version of it, you go, ah, goofy old guys. But if you were one of the women who he touched inappropriately, if you're standing next to former President Bush for a photo opportunity and he gooses you, all of a sudden you're going to think, oh, what a crazy old guy this is. You go, hey, what are you doing?
I know. Someone says, I know you both hate the Constitution.
I do.
Oh, I can't say it enough.
We got to rip it up right now.
Dang Constitution.
Ruins everything.
I know you both hate the Constitution, but isn't a person considered innocent until proven guilty?
Yes.
These are just allegations. Lives can be destroyed by false claims. I've brought that up to you, and
right.
I said it used to be, you know, these allegations would come forward, and then there'd be not necessarily a trial, but they'd
some
look
investigation,
in, yes,
sure.
And then we'd find out, but all of these that have come forward have come to be true.
CBS didn't want to lose Charlie Rose. NBC didn't want to lose Matt Lauer. Those guys mean a lot of revenue for those companies. So for them to take a stand like this and say, we've seen enough or heard enough to where we're going to remove you and now, you know, normally, in a situation like this, normally they would have put him on some sort of a leave for a little while and looked into it. But not, you know, they must have enough evidence to where they say this isn't worth it for us.
Because that's what I asked you when I came in this morning. So in a way, I'm kind of agreeing with this texter. It's like, you know, you hear these accusations. No one's wasting time. They're just taking them off the air. That's it. Done. Fired.
Yeah.
And you explain there has to be stuff that because they wouldn't do that otherwise.
Right.
They'd fight it.
Right. 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 Right.
All right, we need to congratulate Gerardo, who is going to see Tommy Emmanuel, which will be fun. That's at Rockford's Coronado Performing Arts Center this Saturday night. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. And again, Gerardo from Rogers Park, I love that name, has scored a pair of tickets. I believe we have one more to give away before the end of the week. And can I tell you what other tickets we have to give away? You're going to want to steal them.
What is it?
Tickets to see Carol Burnett.
Oh.
Where
is
she? I don't know if we're going to do that today. She is going to have an evening of fun, nostalgia, and reflections.
Oh.
She's bringing a mirror.
Oh.
At the Chicago Theater on June 12th. It's not till June. Tickets go on sale this Friday, December 1st at 10 a.m. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com, by phone, or at thechicagotheater.com. We're going to do those tomorrow and Friday,
I think. That's fine.
But
I will look forward to that.
We have things to give away because it's that time of year.
Yeah. It's the season of giving. All right. A quick break, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
No new developments. I didn't say nude. No new developments in sexual harassment cases. But, boy, it's one a day, and I bet we're going to – it's just going to start – coming one after another.
Well, today it's already been. It was Matt Lauer early this morning and Garrison Keillor. We just found out 15 minutes ago, 10 or 15 minutes ago. And that is a surprise.
It's not even noon yet.
Right. So several texters have said these are all allegations and need to be treated as such. And we understand that. But the point I was trying to make is for a network or a movie company or for anyone who's already been relieved of their duties, that company isn't going to do it unless there's reason to believe. They're not going to do it just for the sake of doing it.
No, they would stand by their man
normally.
To prove, you know, hey, yeah. maybe this is just an allegation yeah. and there's no truth to it. So they have to be pretty positive. And quite honestly, I like it. You know, take them off the air until it's, you know, and that, I know it's like public opinion. So if it comes back not to be true,
right.
it's going to be bad. But these have all come out to be true.
So I think you started to allude to this earlier. What's to stop somebody? Let's say you didn't like some celebrity. What's to, and you've had either a working relationship with them or you've known them privately. What's to stop you from saying, oh, I really don't like that guy. Here's the perfect chance to get
right.
back at him. That's valid. That's extremely valid. And may have happened in a case or two. We don't know yet.
And it may happen still, but then I guess that's my question too, is just everyone going to be fired on the spot if they are accused of something?
Right.
I don't know. I think
it's
a new
season.
Time, people.
Yeah. But look at the landscape already of your morning news shows. CBS has lost their anchor in Charlie Rose, and NBC has lost their anchor in Matt Lauer. All this.
So who's on ABC?
3 week span. Because
they're going to win in the ratings now.
George Stephanopoulos.
All right,
George
this is
good. Strahan, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, this is good news for George Stephanopoulos.
Yeah.
Unless we, who knows what might surface later on today. God, what is this?
Yeah.
I'm in. You know. You often talk about, like, and I shouldn't say you, people often talk about baseball players and musicians that they have girls in every port. People who interview celebrities have access to that, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So these news people.
But all right. So at the very beginning of the show, as we were talking about Matt Lauer, I said this. Most of the names that have come forward or have come out in the last 5 weeks, 6 weeks, have been people in the news/entertainment industry or people in politics. And I know it must be happening in other workplaces, but it's sure not getting anywhere near the press. If it's happening a lot, if it's happening half as much as it's happening in news and entertainment and in politics, I'm not seeing those stories.
Because no one, I hate to say it, but, you know, what is the saying? If it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah.
It needs to be more important.
It has to be names that we recognize and say to ourselves, wait, that guy?
Right.
Right. So if it's the head of some company that makes shoes or if it's the head of a grocery store chain, we go, I don't know.
I don't know. That's pretty big to me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to throw names of shoe stores or grocery stores out there, but that would be a big name. But if it's some mom and pop shop somewhere, who's going to know?
Right.
Who's going to? And I don't mean we shouldn't care, but I just mean it isn't as big a story, obviously, to the people involved, but not to the mass public.
I guess so. But I'm just surprised because we're seeing them so often in those fields, in the fields I mentioned, I'm shocked that we're not seeing it in other businesses. I know it's got to be going on, but I'm not seeing it, and I'm looking for it. I'm online constantly looking for it. I just don't see it.
Well, who knows what might be happening? I just wonder how many men out there are like going, oh my god.
Do you think seriously?
I do.
We talked about this with
really
Matt Lauer.
Do.
Was this in the back of his head the last couple of weeks? Every time he did a story about somebody, they had to have done the story about Charlie Rose, about their competition. So was he thinking, wow, this could have just as easily been me and probably will be at some point? Was that in the back of his head somewhere where he was doing these stories?
I have to imagine it was.
Yeah.
I mean, you're reporting on other people doing something that you've done, and then
right.
you're sitting there getting agita, wondering, oh, my God, am I next? Is someone going to be reporting on my story?
Yeah.
How can you not think
right.
about it?
True. All right.
Unless it's not true.
Yeah. But again, if you were Matt Lauer this morning and all this news, wouldn't you be front and center going, I didn't do this?
And I don't know why I lost my job because I am 100% innocent, and
right.
you will see.
Right. But we haven't heard or seen that. All right. We'll take a break. Wendy and I are headed toward the stream for the bonus hour. We invite you to come along. It should be a pretty good show. Or stay right here where Steve Bertrand has the Wintrust Business Lunch. Two options, both good, right here on WGN.